5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here, 803 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Quick question. What? My ADD is kicking in. So you were just in Vegas? That's where you got monkeypox?
Was it monkeypox? It wasn't monkeypox per se, no.
Okay, that's where you got your. Did you have it before you went, or did you get?
I got it there. I got COVID there.
What happened in Vegas? Came back to your house, and you had to stay in a room.
Well, I had to stay in a room. Yeah, because
you
I
didn't
had
leave
COVID.
It in Vegas. You didn't leave it in Vegas.
No, I brought it back.
Was
with
this
me.
One worse than your first COVID?
This was pretty bad.
It seemed like it was a lot worse.
Yeah.
I was reading something. Reinfections can make you a little bit of a heckler. This one was worse because your first one was more like a cold for you. This one seemed like it got you a little bit.
Yeah, this one
got me.
Were
you tired all the time?
Yeah, I slept a lot. Yeah.
So here's the question. You were in Vegas. I've been to Vegas. I hadn't been seriously for a few years. I went one day, like 2 years ago, I went one day just because I needed to get a flight so I could get to like a gold status or whatever. I had to take one flight. So I flew there, stayed overnight, and came back. That's all I did. So that's kind of going to Vegas, I guess. But I have, in all my years of going to Vegas, and I've probably gone like about maybe 10 times, 10, 12 times. I think I've been outside, legitimately outside twice ever. Once was when we were walking down the strip in the fall from one spot to another, and it seems close. Because all the buildings are so big, but in reality, it was much further away than we realized. And that's when I had the most overrated In-N-Out burger of all time. And then the other time was with Doug Castaneda from the Wynn Sports Race and Sports Book. And this is like 2002 or 3. And he was taking me to a couple, like we went to a bar outside. Huh. And we went to a bar and had drinks at some patio at some
so
bar.
So your point is that you just don't go outside?
Well, yeah, like, do you ever go outside when you're in Vegas?
Yeah.
I don't even think about going outside. I've
played golf. I have to
Is
go outside.
Is it a billion degrees? Have you played during the summer?
You know, a lot of times it's not summer.
Yeah, but have you ever played during the summer?
Three quarters of the other times it's not summer.
Have you
summer.
Ever played during the summer?
No.
That no. seems crazy.
So, but I've been out by the pools. I've played golf. I have to go because the Nugget is downtown and the World Series is on the Strip. I have to go outside a lot to travel.
I can't fathom, like, it's 112 on Sunday in Vegas. It
wasn't that hot, though. It really wasn't that hot.
I know. It's a dry heat.
It is a dry heat. It's a difference.
There is a difference.
There's a huge difference.
There is a big difference. I will agree with you, although I will tell you that can wear your ass out the same way and you can get dehydrated
the same
way. Well,
if you're standing out there in the sun
your body
all
has
day.
To cool itself by sweating, you still get dehydrated in that weather. But 105, but playing golf in 110, 112?
Well, I didn't play in the summer.
Well, that's what I was
asking. Reminding you that three quarters of the rest of the year is not summer.
That's what I was asking. You don't really go outside then during the summer.
You stay out. You stay. I like to be in the casino anyway. I like to be at the card table. So that's just
If I'm going to Vegas... Yeah. What am I going outside for? No. I got plenty of outside when I get to Houston. I'll deal with that. I don't need. I could be grinding cards instead of sitting in 108 degree heat.
Right. And sometimes it's not 108 though, Lance. I don't know if you heard.
No, it's true. Today's supposed to be 103.
Yeah, like in January, it's beautiful there.
Is it?
You know why? Because it's nice and it's like 70 then. It's really, really good. It's a great place to be. Yeah. Freddie says he loves to watch the Bellagio Fountain Show. And you know what? Everybody does. Everybody loves that.
It's nice.
It's a beautiful show.
And it does cool down in the evening because it's not humid.
Yeah.
It does cool down a little bit.
Yeah. You can go
outside. A little bit, yeah.
You can go outside.
It's 79 right now there.
Yeah, great. You see?
I mean.
It's early. It's early in the morning there. Okay, let me ask you this. So coaching change, NFL coaching changes. Which team improves most purely on just the coaching change? I don't think it could be Arians to Bowles because how much can Bowles improve what he's done?
Yeah.
Right? Peyton to Allen, to Dennis Allen? Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
Huh.
That's not going to be a big upgrade. The rest of them, though, it'll be interesting to see. Can you judge Fangio to Hackett because you just picked up Russell Wilson and you didn't have Russell Wilson before that?
Can't really judge it.
You can't judge that.
Can't judge that.
Nagy to Eberflus.
I mean, the assumption is Eberflus will be better.
Yes.
You should be able to assume that.
Meyer to Peterson.
And a lot of these, by the way, have had GM changes, too. Yeah, that should be
a big upgrade. It should be a big upgrade.
So far, that's the leader in the
Gruden conference. To McDaniels.
No. Gruden was out. He was out in the middle of the season anyway. So.
Yeah, right. And they made the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know that that's a huge upgrade. John Gruden was actually fairly well with the
Zimmer Raiders. To O'Connell.
I'm not ready to say that's a whole lot better.
They have to improve.
Kevin O'Connell, it's his first time as a head coach. We'll see. We'll see. They had some injuries in the secondary.
He
was with the Rams, so you get the Rams way of doing stuff. But
you also, he was with Washington when his quarterback was there.
When Kirk Cousins was there.
Yeah, when Cousins was there.
He was
with Washington.
Yeah, because he was with that staff with Kyle Shanahan. I would say I'm not 100% sure it's going to be a lot better with O'Connell over Zim. I think Zim was a solid head coach, but he had clearly hit his ceiling.
What else? Oh God, Warren Sharp. Let's get this.
Eberflus is a defensive coach, so I would expect the Bears defense. They still need a lot of help, but I think Eberflus is going to get the defense going again, which will, take some pressure. Maybe
Judge
off the
to
offense.
Dable.
Judge to Dayball, I think that could be a big upgrade. Dayball's a good offensive
coach. But
he's
also getting Saquon back.
So you're getting maybe a healthy Saquon, although I had a conversation with a good friend of one of the coaches on the staff there. It's not our guy, T-Mac. And this offensive coach or former offensive coach said, Saquon is not the guy that they thought he was going to be. He will not hit it between the tackles. He's a dancer. And which he did some of that in college. He's a dancer and likes to bounce things wide. That's a problem. But, did you remember that Saquon was Rookie of the Year? I'd forgotten that. Saquon was actually Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
He actually had a really good season. I think with Dayball, you could see a better season out of – you've got some receivers over there. You've got Daniel Jones, this is the year. It's either crap or get off the pot for him. But Dayball's had some success with quarterbacks. I think it could be a pretty good upgrade from Judge, where the morale was low, to Brian Dayball.
Maybe, yeah, could
be. Once again, there's another GM change also that was much needed.
Flores to McDaniel.
We'll see. I mean, should be an upgrade. Apparently it was a lot of stress, but I mean, Miami played okay under Brian Flores. That's independent of the issues between the GM and ownership and Brian Flores. And the quarterback and Brian. Let's be real. Brian Flores hated that quarterback. And he and the quarterback had words a few different times. And Brian Flores, a lot of the beef over there was because he wanted Deshaun Watson and he didn't get Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
And so I would say, see, there's Yordan on TV right now. They're showing him. And then, but I don't know about Mike McDaniel either, He's a fun guy to listen to, do interviews. I don't know that he has head coaching vibes. I'm not sure I get everyone's going to respect Mike McDaniel vibes. If it gets, you want to know if a team has respect for a head coach, let the going get really tough.
Yeah.
And there would be adversity. Are they going to respect him? Does he know how to handle that? I have no doubt on Lovey. When the going gets tough, I ain't worried about Lovey. Lovey's a grown-ass man who's done this before. I don't have any doubt that Lovey will still command respect.
Cully to Smith.
Huge. Cully to Smith, Urban to Peterson, those are the, and maybe Nagy to Eberflus, those are the three biggest. But I think the Texans might have the biggest jump.
I agree. I think Meyer to Peterson is going to be, because, well, first of all, we'll find out how much better the quarterback play is going to be under Doug Peterson. And I fully expect he's going to take a big step anyway because it's first year to second year. But Lawrence is really going to benefit from Peterson. I don't know. We'll see if the Texans defense, because Lovey was there. Lovey was in charge of the defense anyway. I don't know that you're going to have a big step, and I don't know that Lovey's going to have that big of an impact on Davis Mills, to tell you the truth. Maybe, you know, we'll find out if Pep Hamilton is the guy that is going to be able to, you know, get the most out of Davis Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Nagy was a mess. Nagy was just a mess in Chicago. And but listen, is that offensive line going to be that much better?
Well, I mean, that's the – no. In Chicago?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
Because
I mean, they're
still going to get the kid killed.
They get Tevin Jenkins back, but no, that's still a major issue. And Ryan Poles just couldn't fix it this year. He had a decision to make. Like, man, do I try to fix offensive line at the back end of the, you know, in the, they didn't have a first round pick. Do I try to fix offensive line with a second round tackle, or do I go get a corner and a safety? Like, worry about my secondary where the talent is still more robust. And he went with the best players available. You can't fix a bad team in 1 year.
Mm-mm.
Can't do it. Texans find it out. Texans had a good draft last year. I mean, so far it looks pretty good. And then this year, it looks like they did a pretty good job as well. They're going to need three drafts to try to fix. Three drafts and three free agencies to try to get it back on track. That's how bad this roster was. Guess what? The Bears are in bad situation. They're in a bad spot, too. And I like Ryan Poles. I consider him a friend. But, man, we had some discussions, and he's like, you get – he said, when you step into this job, you want to fix everything right away, and you have to have patience and recognize that it's impossible to fix bad rosters right away. You just have to keep your eyes on the prize and try to make yourself as good as you can with the best players. And know that, you know, eventually you'll put enough of them together.
Meyer to Peterson, I think, is going to be the biggest jump. Just by head coach, because I mean, they didn't upgrade the roster that much. Christian Kirk, I mean, I think they spent a crap ton of money, but are you sure that they got a bunch of good football players? I'm not sure.
Well, better than maybe what they had. Here, I think you're forgetting free agent signings. Look how many they had. Brandon Scherff, guard, really good guard. Foisade Oluwakun, linebacker, you know, he's okay. Folaronso Fatukasi, the defensive tackle.
A lot of photo follows.
Yeah, they do. 3-year contract. He's pretty good in the middle. Christian Kirk and Evan Engram. That's one of those sounds good, but we'll see what he does because he's, you know, he's always got concussions. Zay Jones, he's okay.
Right.
Xavier Crawford.
I don't know that that's going to help Trevor Lawrence all that much. Those two wide receivers.
We'll see. I think that Christian Kirk could help be a. Remember, he threw to a lot of different slot receivers at Clemson, so he may end up using Christian. Chris Kirk may actually be a very important piece specifically for Trevor Lawrence, what he's been used to. I'm looking at the rest of the free agents. Darius Williams, cornerback. Laquan Treadwell, that's a nothing. Xavier Crawford. Arden Key.
Mm.
Pass rusher, we'll see. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I thought they were very underwhelming with their free
agents. But you still think that's going to be the biggest jump?
But just Peterson is going to help him tremendously. 713-780-3776. Maybe you got other thoughts. You're more than welcome to get in here. I've got thoughts on Chastain Ford. I just love what they do. I just love when a business has the integrity that they have. I just love when a business does exactly what they say they're going to do every single time. I love when they promise that they're not going to do some things. Read my lips. No markups. No add-ons. We're not doing that. That's just not what we're about. And there are a bunch of dealerships that are. I mean, stupid money they're charging just so you can order. Hey, July 18th, you can get your F-150 again at Chastain Ford. July 18th, mark it down. Go order your F-150. You need that F-150. You get to 2023. You can start ordering on July 18th. Listen, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a pre-owned vehicle. I don't care if it's a you're ordering your vehicle. I don't care what it is. You're going to get your best deal at Chastain Ford, period, exclamation point. You're going to get the rebates that you can possibly get. You are going to get you're going to get it the way that you want it because you order it the way you want it. They're not going to add anything on. You're going to get the perfect vehicle for you at Chastain Ford at the best price they can get it to you for. I promise you that. I promise it every single time. All you got to do is go to ChastainFord.com, find out for yourself, or get to the dealership and meet the great people. You'll love them. It's at 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, our Astros win again, 9-7, 8 straight now. Jordan homers and throws a guy out from deep left field. And it's not that deep because left field's not that deep at Minute Maid. But it was just before the warning track. Now, it's a shorter warning track than a lot of places because the wall is closer.
Still look baller, though, to throw somebody out from, you know, from almost a standstill.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a throw. I didn't think he had it in
him. It had the stars had to align. Because let's face it, first of all, it was a slow white guy on third. Okay, so that was a good thing. Secondly, it's the shortest porch in baseball in left field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's that. It looked further because of that, because he was close to the wall. He was close to the warning track. But he threw it on a line. You're right. He didn't get that running start and, you know, fire like you're taught. He just caught it and just stood there and threw a bullet all the way on a line, not a hop, to Machete, and Machete made the
no tag. Crow hop, like
no,
nothing. It was just like catch throw, and it's not the kind of throw, you know. It wasn't a momentum throw, so that's what really shocked me is that he was able to fly it there. Plus, I'm used to a lot of throws being lower on a line, and you know using that one hop, but there was no hop there, man. He had the juice, and then Jordan with another. It was another multi-hit game. He had a base hit. He had a walk. He had a home run. It's the things that Jordan does. Teams are really starting to pitch around him now. We're starting to see that. I think we can expect to see it way, way more. You're going to start seeing them pitch. And they tried to pitch around Jordan. They still gave up a home run. And, like, you can't mess around with him. You just can't because he – did you hear the stat? The Astros have 3 changeup home runs. Home runs off changeups, and Jordan has like, I don't know, 10? Well, Jordan has like 10 home runs off changeups. People who think they're going to change speeds, doesn't work. Paint the corner outside, doesn't work.
Well, it's harder to hit a home run off of a changeup because the impact isn't going to be as great as a fastball, and the ball won't jump off
that's not,
just because of science. But Jordan don't care about that.
Well, Jordan's got way too much power. So it doesn't matter. His hot zone, you know, is middle down. That's his hot zone. He tortures it middle down. Up in the zone is where you can get him out. But they showed all of his home runs yesterday. They did show up and in fastballs. He's turned on those and raked them out of the park. I don't see any high outside strikes where he hit home runs. I don't remember if there was. There's probably, I'm sure, one. But that may be the place where they try to pitch him. But come on, realistically, who wants to throw a guy who can take the ball the other way? Who wants to throw a high fastball outside? That just looks like it's easily going to get parked in the Crawford box.
No, that's just silly. You can't throw him anywhere if you want to know the truth. That's our Jordan. That's our Jordan. And the batting, and does anybody care? I mean, when Brantley comes back, I mean, there's all these issues. Man, you can't be any better than this team is right now. And Michael Brantley's not there. And, you know, it's just, I mean, Odorizzi just got back. Thank God. Thank God Odorizzi was able to get back. Lance is still in the wings. When Lance McCullers comes back, what the hell do you do?
That's why. So the latest, did you get to hear? Were you already, did the all hands vodka get you too much to where you didn't hear what they said about Lance?
I didn't. Okay. I didn't hear what they said.
So I have to double check. For those who don't know, John tried to treat a vodka drinks like they were Coors Lights, and that's just not the way you approach
it. It was a bad
move. That's not the way you approach it.
All hands, I got respect for you.
So they showed Lance throwing live batting practice. I think they said he threw 31 pitches. Velocity was between 91 and 93 is what Julia Morales said. So he's between 91 and 93, and, you know, his velocity, he thinks his velocity will come up once he's in game situations. The next thing they want to work on him is the up-downs, meaning go throw, go sit, go throw, go sit, go throw, go sit, to see how his body, his arm responds to that. So, you know, they're careful not to give a timetable. I think if you do the math on this, if you use common sense, I would think the earliest would be 2 weeks, because you still have to have time for the arm to come back. And I still think August, personally. You take into account, you know, the All-Star break and everything else. I think we're looking at August for Lance McCullers, because let's think about this. We're in early July, and everyone's talking about it. Looks like he's getting close to coming back. Well, he still has to do the up-down. So you still have to make sure the arm responds and bounces back, because I'm assuming, I don't know, maybe he comes back and his first starts or his first outings are out of the pen. You know?
I think that makes the most sense. I honestly
let
do.
Let him throw an inning out of the pen?
And people have been like, well, his arm is falling off and you want him to be up every couple of days? Yeah. As opposed to 7 innings? Yes. Yes. As opposed to 100 pitches in an outing? Yes.
Well, I think that if Lance can throw his fastball for a strike, you know, now you'd like the velocity to be better than 93 in today's baseball. But if he could really, really locate, maybe you let him work more. The problem I have, John, is he's such a breaking ball pitcher, and then you're going to ask him to come back off a shorter rest. I don't know. I don't think the Astros
But not nearly as much work. So, I mean, the shorter rest, but you got shorter work.
Yeah, that may be the case. I still think whatever they do, they're going to be super careful with them. Lance is guaranteed money for 3 more years, 4 more years.
They just signed this deal, $85 million.
Yeah, so it's four more years. Yeah. Now. They're not going to play games with Lance McCullers. They're going to be careful with him. So I don't know if he makes it. I would guess around August, because the amount of time he's going to need to recover after he does his next set of up-downs, which will be, whatever, 5 days from now, maybe? Maybe 5-6 days from now. So add that on to where we are already. You're talking about July 11th. Then you're going to have his up-downs. Then you're going to have the rest and the All-Star game coming up. So I don't know. My guess is, because then you'll have to have him have rehab. I would assume he's going to go down and have a rehab start where he throws 2 to 3 innings with Sugarland Space Cowboys. So I would think 2 rehab starts. There's another 10 days. I'm not sure where people get where he's almost back. I can count at least 15 more days, and my guess is closer to 20 to 22 days before he would be back with the Astros. So I'm guessing late July would be the earliest.
Yeah, August is what, and you know what? And if he comes back, and that's just fine. Uncle Mike, take your time. The team is fine. I you know what? Don't want to mess with you. I like Jeremy Pena in the 2-hole right now. Everybody's fine. Take your time. Get healthy. No, there's no rush for anybody to get back. No rush whatsoever. You know, the Royals can hit. Ian made a point yesterday. He goes, why is this Royals team so bad? They can hit. Why is this? I don't get it.
Well, you got Greinke as one of your starters.
Well, that's a problem.
It's 2-5 now with an ERA close to 5.
Yeah. I mean, they do have a guy named Vinny Pasquantino on their team.
Oh.
Hey.
Brazil.
What are you talking
about? Why is he making? You making the Brazil today, Vinny?
Vinny Pasquantino.
Nice beef cutlets. I put the gabagool inside. It's beautiful.
So there was a point made yesterday by a politician, and I wonder if you agree with it, about LeBron and Brittany Griner. We'll talk about that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Las Vegas, the rookie camps are underway. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to
rookie somebody, basketball, rookie summer basketball, league,
summer league, yeah, is underway in Vegas. And boy, Chet Holmgren looked good.
He did. He, you know, we see every year these rookies just go off in summer league because the top players don't play there; the rookies do. But it was we saw Rockets do pretty well there last year.
Now he was playing against guys that were wearing number 70, you know, and
but Chet looked
pretty good.
Chet was doing whatever he wanted. Yeah. He was up at the top of the key, really showed, like, top of the key, shaking people and shooting pull-up threes. Like, whoa, he's got a lot of skill. Chet's probably, going to be, honestly, he's probably a guy who's diminished in people's eyes because he's a white guy. And, you know, you have to deal with that as a top basketball player. It's not just he's a white guy. He's a guy who looks like he has a chicken body. I mean, he's got the skinniest, yeah, slender man body that you've ever seen. It's hard to take that seriously, you know, except when Kevin Durant went off. And I'm not calling him Kevin Durant. There's just very few players who have had the outside game, you know, the skill level and that body type. But the question is he explosive enough to be that guy? I would argue that if you don't remember Dirk Nowitzki as a rookie, Dirk was kind of bashed as a rookie because he wasn't as good as a rookie when Dirk first came in. And people, Tractor Trailer was traded for him, I remember, on draft day. And the first year it looked like, ooh, the Mavericks screwed this up. This Nowitzki kid is super skinny. The game's too big for him. He's not strong enough. And then he grew into his body, and Dirk became a great, great, great player, Hall of Famer. So, I don't know. I think Chet's going to end up being a lot better than a lot of us gave him credit for.
Well, how about
a lot
this?
Better.
Tomorrow the Rockets start. Jabari goes against Paolo.
My kids are so hyped. I told Mason, I said, Mason, you're going to watch Summer League basketballs on right now at ESPN? He goes, I don't care. I only care tomorrow when the Rockets play. So he knew all about the schedule.
They start tomorrow, Thursday. And then they got Paolo to start, Orlando. And then on Saturday, they get Chet in Oklahoma City.
Good.
So that'll be fun to see. And Jabari going on against those guys.
Is it
going to
be on, have the television
schedule? It's on ESPN.
Schedule?
It's on ESPN 2. Well, ESPN tomorrow, 9 o'clock Central, and then Saturday, ESPN 2, 7 o'clock Central. And then Monday they play the Spurs on ESPN, on the ESPN network. I'm not sure. I guess it's on ESPN, yeah. So they're televising these games live, and it's right out of the box. Jabari, let's see what you got against Paolo. Let's see what you got against Chet. Let's go.
I'm excited.
That's be fun.
I'm really excited to see Jabari Smith in action.
Yep. So I guess maybe it wasn't a politician. I think it was a women's basketball coach who said yesterday. She said if it was LeBron that was in prison in Russia, he'd be home already. You agree?
No, and here's why. I've heard that argument that the U.S. would make it happen. Okay, well, here's what would let me just turn this back on you. Do you think that President Biden would agree to stop sending aid to the Ukraine in the form of weapons and stuff like that just to get LeBron James back? Because if your answer is no, then it doesn't change
anything. Well, listen, if it was LeBron James, yeah, the price would be higher.
They got a political prisoner. Yeah, right. It's leverage for Russia.
Yes, absolutely.
They have leverage now with Brittany Griner. They're going to use Brittany. This whole thing has been kind of strange to me, everyone. Bring her back. Bring her back. I totally get it. I'm totally on board with all that stuff. And she wrote a handwritten letter to Biden about, you know, please help and bring back all the detainees. That's all fine and good. But the problem you have right there is going to be what I'm telling you is this is not going to be as easy as people think or as clean as people think just because it was LeBron. I still think what they're going to ask for is going to be, if they had LeBron, they'd ask for even more.
Way more.
They'd ask for even more.
Way more.
So I think that you're going to have to hope that that Joe Biden is willing to make allowances that work contrary to what the administration wants to do just to get Brittany Griner home. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe they eventually will do that, but I think Russia knows they got a chess piece on the board.
Absolutely.
That they're going to use.
Absolutely.
That's why I don't think this is – I think this is going to be pretty messy.
Gary wants to talk about this subject. Gary, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to weigh in on this. I'm a humongous sports guy, but the only thing I like more than sports happens to be politics. And the LeBron Griner thing is completely absurd. She really just had horrible, horrible timing. And then she had a minor offense when Russia was planning to invade Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And they knew that we would support Ukraine. And so at this point, she's a political prisoner. It has nothing to do with her being a woman athlete or, you know, LGBTQ or whatever the case is. She's just caught in a very, very bad situation. And people thinking Biden can wave some type of magic wand and get her home don't know anything about international politics.
I feel
it's a
the
horrible
exact
situation
same.
For her.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I feel the exact same
yeah.
way.
Yeah, well, their asking price has been...
The idea that if this were LeBron, she'd already be home. This is way deeper than that, way deeper than... If anything, it'd be even harder for LeBron because they would really feel like they have a bargaining chip. But I think Gary hit all of that out of the park. I think all of that mm-hmm. is true.
Well, it's not only about Ukraine. It's about the prisoners that we won't let go.
Right.
And would we let them go? Would we let these prisoners go if it was LeBron? Now, the asking price would be even greater than it's been for. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not would the public outcry be greater if it was LeBron? Probably.
Oh, yeah.
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 I don't think there's any question. Would the asking price from Russia be even higher? Probably.
Possibly.
Probably. No. Yeah. More than likely. And then would we acquiesce? And the answer, I don't know. I mean, you're doing business with Russia here. I don't know. I can't answer that question. I don't know. I know that the public outcry would be tremendous.
It's already weird that we see that political factions, the political sides hate each other so much that I've actually seen people who kind of soft shoe around, like, I'm kind of a fan of Russia because your side likes the Ukraine, so I'm going to like Russia. Like, this is Russia. This is crazy. I mean, this is kind of crazy to me that anyone would be on Team Russia. Can you imagine if LeBron was held? How many people politically hate LeBron and it was Russia? It would be just like people running around in Cossack hats. Politically, like running around with Cossack hats and I will tell you this right now. Like, you, what are you talking about? You're from East Bernard. You don't talk that way. This is the way I talk because LeBron is getting what he deserves in Russia for doing this in Great Mother Russia. Like, you're from Wharton. Stop. I know you hate the other side politically, but you're not Russian. And just because you don't like LeBron, you can't just have a Russian accent and a Cossack hat.
Yeah. I don't know.
But weird stuff happens now. Nothing fools me. Nothing surprises me anymore with people, their disgust for each other will make you just cheer for the weirdest stuff. And I'm talking about both sides politically. I see they cheer for some things. I'm like, I can't believe you're cheering for this right now.
It's a bad situation, and you know, President Biden's caught in the middle of it, and we'll find out whether or not he gets her out. 8:42. Feel bad for her though. I mean, but goodness gracious, don't carry. Listen, if you're traveling to a communist country, don't be bringing home any kind of drugs,
any of that,
anything. Goodness gracious,
I got a story for you off the air.
All right. This Friday, our summer circuit, I got a story for you. Our summer circuit takes us to Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue. We're going to be broadcasting live from noon to 7. Come enjoy amazing, but we've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Papa Charlie's is awesome.
The food is
excellent.
West does a great job. It's a cool place.
Yeah.
Really cool really patio, yeah, the yeah. area out there. It's a yeah. really cool place.
Cold beer, frozen cocktails, a whole lot more. You can register to win a new grill, Texas Star Grill Shop, and a weekend getaway from Lafayette Travel. This Friday, we'll see you at Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue on Hempstead near Spring Cypress. All right, 713-780-3776. If you've got any thoughts on anything that we've discussed, you're more than welcome. Right now, you got to talk about insurance.
And I'm glad I get to, because I'm basically giving you guys a chance to make money. I'm giving you, well, a chance to save your own money, but that feels like made money. You're used to paying a certain amount year after year after year for your homeowner's insurance. Well, that's because you're not getting competitive rates. Unless you're shopping for your prices, you're not going to get a competitive rate, and you're going to end up paying too much. What TGS Insurance does is they shop multiple A-rated insurance companies just by getting your address. That's all they need, and they will give you a competitive rate. Compare that to what you're paying now. The other day, I got a direct message from somebody who used TGS that saved $1,211 for their homeowners for the year. And they're like, I can't tell you how happy I am that we're going to be able to use this for taxes and blah, blah, blah. And they, you know, the guy just told me where that money was going to go that they weren't going to have previously. That's one of those areas where you can find money because you need competitive rates so that you get the best offering with, you know, great A-rated insurance. Text the word money to 232323. That's how you get started. Text the word money to 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Looking at an article here, most underrated player on each NFL team. And, like, for example, Jacksonville's is Christian Kirk. He just got $72 million. I don't know if he's underrated, but they kind of feel like maybe what you were talking about earlier is that Trevor Lawrence is going to have he can lean on him. He's a guy that he hit in college, and maybe he will. He didn't hit him. He liked that position, and he was pretty effective at that position. So maybe he's going to have himself a big year. Who do you think the Texans' most underrated player is?
Texans' most underrated player. I think it might actually end up being Nico Collins.
Nico. Interesting. They say Davis Mills.
That's the favorite. I mean, I recognize that. Well, so here's the thing. I think that actually is probably the right answer. Mm-hmm. Because even in Houston, while there are a lot of Davis Mills truthers, I think maybe a little early to be that all in with Davis Mills. I will say that there's still plenty of people who don't believe in him at all who live here in Houston. So he's got the opportunity to really, maybe he is underrated. I know nationally I had to deal with that with straightening up NFL.com, the guy who was doing the team needs. I'm like, dude, I know you got quarterback number one need. That's not happening. They're not getting a quarterback. They think they might have a quarterback with Davis Mills. National people just don't. No. They just don't seem to buy in at all.
It's so funny too. Every list, he's 35th on the list. It just seems like, and there's only 32 teams, and yet Davis Mills is the 35th on every list. He's behind Kenny Pickett in every. He's behind. I mean, it's just amazing to me. When in fact, his last five games, I was just reading an article about the Texans, and everyone points at Davis Mills and says, man, you guys, you're missing something here. In his last five games, he threw 9 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. He got better, so much better as the year went along. They didn't win football games, but he was as effective as a rookie quarterback as Mac Jones was.
Mm-hmm.
He really was, and yet nobody, and this one too. And Mills navigated a seemingly rough situation in Houston admirably. He finished second among all rookie quarterbacks in regular stats, 16 touchdowns, and advanced stats, DVOA, DYAR, and QBR. He doesn't have the ability to wow you with arm talent. Now, see, you got to take a little shot at him. His arm is fine. He can throw the deep out. He can throw it on a line. I don't know where is this that he doesn't have an arm.
He's got arm talent. He's got arm, not a problem.
I don't. He doesn't. He does.
I'm telling you
with
that's
arm.
Just
he.
That's
yeah,
just,
he wowed me.
That's people saying stuff. How much Davis Mills did anyone watch?
Not much. No.
They didn't watch. They didn't watch much Davis Mills. People around the there are people here who are very, very upset that Deshaun Watson is gone, and they are anti Davis Mills, and that's unfortunate because, you know, if you're a Texans fan who wants your, like, I'm never a fan of hoping your quarterback fails or whatever. It's just it's such a bad look to me. But especially a guy who's a rookie, where it's such an advantage if your quarterback can play well and be a much better quarterback than you expected as a third rounder, that's just such a huge advantage to building a roster when you have something like that. Although the rebuild is going to take a long time, and he's only going to be under contract for 4 years.
Yeah.
So and quarterbacks cost an arm and a leg.
God bless, he has a big year. But even still, coming from where he is, unless he, unless he becomes a superstar, his second contract isn't going to be outrageous.
One wouldn't think.
You would think he'd be about a fit. If he plays really well and he's your starting quarterback 4 years in, I don't mind paying him. What are you going to pay him? 15 to 20? That's great. That's fine. You didn't have to go out and waste high picks on a potential quarterback like the Steelers just did with Kenny Pickett and used a first rounder on a guy that's really uncertain.
But if you hit, you hit.
If you hit, you hit. It's great. I mean, you got to do it. But if you don't have to do it, if he turns out to be a player in the third round, holy crap, what a jackpot that is.
I'm trying to find the at one point I had the stats, the predictions for Davis Mills. I think his touchdown total. What do you think his touchdown total was? I'm pretty sure I remember what it was.
What the prediction is for him?
Yeah. What's his over under?
Okay. What is their prediction and what is my prediction?
Yeah.
Their prediction.
Oh no, I got him right here. I got him right here.
I'm gonna. They're gonna say 22 touchdowns.
Very good. It was 22 and a half.
22 and a half. Okay.
Yep. Well, what do you like?
And I'm gonna hit over. I'm gonna go over.
Of course you are.
Well,
it's a Houston player and it's an over.
Well,
you keep the streak alive.
Well, why would we think he's going to throw fewer than when he threw 16 in a limited nine? What did he play? 9 games last year?
Yeah, that's fair. I think they're going by historically second year quarterbacks, what they do. I think 22 and a half is a fair number. I would lean towards the over also.
I'm going over.
Although Pep Hamilton likes to run the ball a lot.
Okay, over 28.
Oh, touchdowns?
Yeah.
No, under. Under. I think the highest number he can get to is 25. Pep's going to run it a lot. They want to run the ball a lot. So I don't think they're going to be throwing per game as often as they did last year.
You know, he had like the highest QBR in the red zone last year in the NFL.
How often was he there?
Well, not often.
3 times?
Well, not often.
Yeah,
but,
not much.
But he was outstanding in the red zone.
I need to find team stats here. Let me give you another one. See what you think about this one. Passing yards, 3,650. 3,650
yards.
Now,
that I might go under. Because, like you said, they are going to want to run the ball. But he, you know what? He doesn't make that many mistakes. So I think that they're going to take advantage. But I don't see him throwing for a lot of yards. I see him throwing for a lot of touchdowns, though.
Okay. So what do you think his interception total should be? The over-under?
It should be about 13 or 14.
14. So they think he makes enough mistakes. And that's and if he could get to 24 and 14 his second year, that's great.
Yeah.
You go look at historically, even good quarterbacks a lot of times have not had that level of jump. Like the touchdown to interception, if he could stay under 14, that's a good season. If he could get over 22, that's a good season. That's what you're shooting for.
Oh, I think he'll get over 22.
I think he'll easily get over 22. See, I think a lot of people are like you, where they just assumed, okay, that's it. It's Davis Mills. We're good. What's going to happen if Davis Mills doesn't play well? I don't think a lot of people are even factoring that in. Like, what's your opinion going to be if Davis Mills is really struggling?
Be awesome. Get a quarterback.
Because you will have
because
to.
Because you'll know.
You'll have to make that decision.
That's right. But you'll know, though. That's
so,
the good thing.
So what if he's 16 and 13?
Then you know you need a quarterback.
And that's
a very unsuccessful season.
He played 12 games. He was hurt. He got hurt for 5 games. He was in concussion protocol. He has 16 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and in those 12 games he played, he was 5-7. 5-7.
5-7 would be awesome.
But that's his record. That's the team's record. But did his play reflect
that? Exceeds 5-7 exceeds all expectations of this team.
That doesn't mean, though, that you can get wins without playing great as a quarterback. We know that.
Yeah.
If the defense plays well, if you run the ball well, sometimes special teams is good. That kind of stuff can happen too. So what are you doing then? In all that scenario, you spend in the first on the quarterback, and now, by the way, so he won 5. You won 2 while he was out. So you're 7-10. So you're picking
7-10.
Yeah, now you're picking 13th.
That's a hugely successful season.
You're picking 12th or 13th. See, so now you're stuck with him, and you don't know if you got the right guy, and you've passed on quarterbacks again.
Right, right. Well,
that's what gets.
But where are you going to get a 13 anyway?
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. Right. No, thanks.
You know, it depends. You could also trade up. Don't forget, they have some extra draft picks.
Yeah, well, they have. Yeah.
So they can move up. And
they got the Browns pick. Don't forget. And the Browns pick may be really, really good, depending on Deshaun, obviously. No. Well, hey, listen, if you're up there with the Browns pick and you and the guy is there and he has that kind of a season, if Stroud is there or Alabama quarterback Bryce Young is there, then you probably take him if he has a 16-13 season. If the Browns pick is way up there and you got a chance at one of those two guys, you grab him.
How we get the Browns pick? I need Deshaun to be out.
Yeah,
right. We need Jacoby Brissett. I don't even want to see Baker.
No,
straight Jacoby Brissett. That's it.
I mean,
they got a pretty good defense. They got a good running game.
No, they got a good football team.
They ain't gonna beat third. The worst case, the best you can hope for is the Browns are like 6th or 7th. I think that's the best you can hope for.
Well, you might be able to package 13-6 and go move
up
anyway.
Yeah, now you could do that. Yeah. You could do that if you need quarterback.
Right. 7-10. When did you come up with 7-10? When Davis Mills only plays.
Well, I want to make it harder on you to get away from Davis Mills to where you say, man, this is a little tougher challenge.
Let me ask you this. If Davis Mills plays well, and they do you think they can get to 7-10 anyway?
Yeah, because I've seen enough crazy stuff where, yes, because takeaways defensively can have a big impact on games. You just have to play. Remember, the Houston Texans actually played pretty well in the first half of games. A lot of times their defense didn't let up until the fourth quarter, and they would start getting just pummeled on the ground. I think that eventually, yeah, you could have some games go your way. You could have you could win 5 games legitimately and have 2 fall into your lap because of a punt return for a touchdown or a block punt for a touchdown, and your defense is playing better. Those kind of things happen.
Yeah.
Those kind of things happen. So
seven wins, though, is a big successful season.
4.5 is the total in Vegas. You're talking about getting 2.5 more than expected.
Uh-huh.
That happens all the time, though.
Huh. Well, it's a hugely successful season if they win 7.
They got
games.
A better running game this year. I would say 6 is.
We think.
My goal would be 6 wins. I would never say it out loud if I were the Texans. You can't actually say my goal is to go 6-11 and to pick up 2 wins. I mean, it was 2 years ago you won 4 games. Last year you won 4 games. That's not exactly a great trajectory to win only 2 games. I would say the Texans should be shooting for. Realistically, 8-9.
Yeah.
That's what they should be shooting for. I think you need to do everything you can to get to 7 wins. 6 wins, yeah, it's more than the Vegas total. But is that really that great coming off of 4 wins last year with David Culley at the helm?
No, 7.
And a rookie quarterback?
But 7 wins would be a hugely successful season for this football team. 713-780-3776.
You had a former All-Pro in David Johnson last year.
It's 9 o'clock. You said that with a straight face. 713-780-3776. Time to talk about Doc Linville. I'm saying it with a straight face every single time. Go get hair. Okay, I don't know what your hair situation is. I'm disgusted. I don't want to be disgusted with you, but if you're somebody that wants hair and you're sitting there and you're like, hey, look at this hairline. It's really bothering me. Look at this bald spot. I don't want to be bald. I'm too young. I'm too vibrant. I want the ladies love hair, guys. Okay, that's it. Okay, you want to get a woman and you don't have hair? That's on you. Okay, there's nothing we can, well, actually, there is something we can do about it. We can go to 975hair.com. And you know what? The ladies love it. They love to run their hands through your hair and make it, you know, they just love that. And if you want to be a ladies man, how many superheroes do you see? How many superheroes do you, bald superheroes? None. Zero. Okay? They all got great hair. It's a prerequisite for
Magneto
being.
Magneto or whatever, he was a bad guy, though.
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
No, bad guys always are bald. Okay.
Lex Luthor.
Do you want to be the good guy or the bad guy?
Lex Luthor, bad guy.
975hair.com, 975hair.com.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.